And you're very welcome to the latest edition of Hurling Chat here on Galway Bay FM. This week we look forward to the second round of the Under-20 Championship with a look back at last week's opening game against Offaly. Sir Donald and Niall Canavan are in the hot seat as normal. And I suppose, gentlemen, draw against Offaly. I think before the game, you'd have taken that, wouldn't you, really?
Yeah, I think you would. I suppose you'd be a small bit disappointed with the manner of going out of the game for a bit after half time. But in a first day out for a championship side, you'd be expecting that. The under-20s would have played a good few challenges, but nothing kind of matches what you get in the first round of that championship. Offaly had a game played as well to their benefit. But Galway looked like the team that wanted to win it for a finish after being looking dead and buried 3 or 4 points down, going down the home straight. But there's definitely improvements needed as the year goes on. But at the same time, if they beat Offaly by what are we saying, more than a pint, they top the group. So if they get that, or if they beat Dublin, if they get that, they'll be delighted with the start in the first two games. Didn't lose any of them, and surely progressing and getting better as the games go on.
I suppose in a way we probably should go through the format of the competition. It's a three team group, as you said there, sir. So we'll say Offaly have played their two games. They've won one and drawn one, so they have 3 points after their two games. Galway have a point after their first game. Dublin have no points after losing the first one by a point Offaly. So effectively, if you end up top in the group, you end up in the semi-final. Now let's give you the dates here, which kind of gives you the bonus. If you're in a semi-final, the semi-final has not been played up for 4.5 weeks, so you've a bit of time to work. If you finish second in the group, you go into the quarter-final, which is 3.5 weeks away. You're asking me now, why are we saying half weeks? Because those two games would be gone to the Wednesday night fixtures. And if you finish last in the group here, you're out in 2 weeks in a preliminary quarter-final. But as Cyril said, Niall, it's down to, if you beat Dublin by 2 points or more, you actually top the group. Now, by all accounts, Dublin should have beaten Offaly, so Dublin will be very much a team to watch in this. But there's bonuses the higher up the table you finish, aren't there?
There sure is bonuses, yeah. And we see in the other group, actually, I know Wexford are playing Laois this weekend, but Kilkenny have their two games played. They beat Wexford and Laois comfortably. They're not playing again until the 15th of May, which gives them a huge advantage. And I know from an Offaly perspective, in the sense that the 5 or 6 of the senior players on the panel, if they got that break, it would be huge in the sense that they'd be able to play with their senior team without any major distractions. But from a Galway perspective, it would be nice to finish top of the group, get into that semi-final. If you're in a preliminary quarter final or a quarter final, you're obviously playing more games. There's the chance then, of course, that guys could get injured. There's exams going on for them in college and schools and so on and so forth. So if they were to get a small bit of a break, it would be possibly ideal. But they're up against it on Sunday against Dublin. Dublin, by all accounts, as you said, Sean, should have beaten Offaly. Barry Egan, I think, got a point late into that game. If you look at some of the Dublin guys, like Jermot O'Doolig, he's on the senior squad. He got 6 points the last day. David Purcell at full forward, Ollie Gaffney, another good player as well. Like, they have some serious players, and by all accounts they're a big, strong physical team, and we saw them last year in Burr. Were really good against Galway in Burr last year, and it's going to be a serious step up for Galway. But the fact that they have a game played, we might see changes to the team as well, even the structure of the team. We saw the last day in the last quarter when Galway were 5 points down, Tiernan Lean went to centre half back, and Oshino in midfield, Rory Burke to centre half forward, the likes of Paddy McCarr, he came on, might see starting the next day. Conor Dolphin, interestingly, didn't get a game the last day. A guy who played senior, played well last year for Mullia.
Ben O'Donovan
was very good for Gort last year, so there are a lot of options there from a Galway perspective, but no doubt the game will bring them on, and it would be ideal to finish top of the group. You'd like to be going into those knockout stages with a victory under your belt, and if they achieve that against Dublin by 2 points or more, that they'll go into that
Do you avoid Kilkenny, and then if you end up topping the group? So
you would if you were both top of the group.
They'll be the strongest on that side.
So you could look at it another way as well, of course. If you were to lose, you get a permanent quarter final, you get a quarter final, and then you'd have two games won. A team like Offaly or like Kilkenny could be sitting there for 5 weeks without a game. So I suppose, depending on how the results go, there's pros and cons to it. But again, ideally, you'd like to be winning games.
I think it's the first time in years that we have an under-20 or under-21 team that don't have a member of the panel involved in the senior setup. Now, that can change. Things can change very quickly, and one of them could be brought in even on the back of under-20 displays.
But is that nearly the best way it should be happening, to a degree that you earn it from the under-20s going in more than, like, the last, I suppose, look, we all hark back, don't we, to Gavin Lee and Tiernan Killeen not being able to play 2 years ago.
Yeah.
in the Leinster semi-final that Galway lost after extra time by a point against Kilkenny, which was probably the final.
Yeah.
In hindsight, like it was an awful loss to the 20s not to have them two lads.
Well, to me, it's all development to senior, same with county minor. And it's very important that the lads at the age group have an opportunity to play. So I'm kind of happy enough that panel is together and that they're progressing in their own hurling and they can make the step forward. It's very difficult for a 19-year-old now, whether he's doing Leaving Cert or whether he's doing first year in college, trying to balance that, trying to go to Galway on the 20 training, Galway senior training, trying to get everything in time. Like, he doesn't really, it's very hard to see him, for him to do himself justice in a senior setup with all that going on.
It is.
And then the club pulling out of them on top of that for wondering about different things, league games, making trainings, all of that. So I think it's great that that group are together there at the minute. I think
and management have them together as well to work on stuff.
And I'd much rather that situation than the Offaly situation there at the minute with five of them having to go back into their six of them, maybe going back into a senior setup for a number of weeks. So I think that Galway team are going to get better. Going to get better in the 6 days, I'd be hoping so, in order to get a performance in Dublin. And we said the Offaly, Dublin, Galway, them three teams seem to be fairly well locked in around the same standard. So if we can just get a small bit more out of the performance and a bit more consistency over the 60 minutes, I think we'd have enough in it for Dublin.
One of the things we often argue that Galway need games, but the other side of that is you need games in a championship, so you're in Leinster, which is great. But the other thing is you're also starting at the same time as the other teams, which I think is always crucial, because if you come in later in a championship, the team that starts has a chance to look at your team. Galway have a chance to look at their team now, with the help of God, a few more games. As you progress, you have a chance to kind of iron out difficulties and kind of, you know, you probably should be ended up with a better team by game three than game one, effectively.
Yeah, and we've seen that prior to 2009 for the Galway senior hurlers.
Yeah.
Munster, Leinster, everything was up and they had a delayed start to come into the championship scene. And what they often you've seen that they were very competitive in the league, and then they got blown away when they went into that format because teams had games played on them. So it's good that they were back to the start line, as you said. I that's a very valid point.
Now, you were talking, we say, I suppose, Fergal Healy's style, like, it's a very distinctive style, and I suppose what you have to credit Galway, they stuck to the game plan, didn't they? And ironically, when the sending off came, you know, calls over the penalty being harsh, Ravenhill put it wide as it turned out, but Galway played their best hurling, a man less and under pressure, to get the last five scores, didn't they?
Yeah, they played very well in the last quarter, and I think that's, from their perspective, they'll be happy with that. Going in at half time, Galway were in a really good position, won 5 to 7 points, and the wind was to come. But Offaly ran at Galway, which will be a concern. Donald Shirley was at number 5 that was going up the field continuously. The two midfielders, Colin Spain and Cathal King, got through an amount of work as well. And Dan Burke and Barry Egan were exceptionally good as well. But Galway finished very, very strong. The penalty was missed. And maybe at that stage, if that had gone in, Offaly would have gone 8 points up. But it gave Galway a lease of life that maybe they didn't have at that stage or going to the game. And from then on, they pushed up. They kind of went man on man, another man behind, but they pushed up, went very, very direct, got 5 points in a row, had two wides near the end as well.
One dropped into the keeper.
Yeah, they were the team that were really, really pressing. And if you were a manager, you'll be happy, particularly the way they finished, because it didn't look good. If Galway hadn't come with that finish, you'd have come out of Tullamore saying it was a disappointed performance. But the fact that they finished very, very strongly is grounds for optimism. And as Cyril said, the fact that they've got games, they'll be able to rejig their team, they'll be able to get game time into more players, and they should improve as a result of that. And you would hope to see a better Galway performance the next day, and I've no doubt you will, because these guys have played a game already and will know what it's about now as well. I know they played very well against Cork in a challenge match a couple of weeks ago, and talking to a few lads, there might be a kind of a false sense coming out of that, in the sense that they played really, really, really well, and going into the game against Offaly, they might have been saying, because we played so well against Cork, the levels maybe dropped a small bit, but no doubt they'll be up for the Dublin game the next day, because it's a big game to get into the knockout stages.
But Cyril's point is, you can play all the challenges you like, but 1 half-hour championship finds you out, doesn't it?
Yeah, just the tempos
will be
twice quick. And in fact, after half time, they just looked a bit gassed. You know, and they got their breath and got at least a life again going down the latter stages of the game. But just a little bit more consistency in regards to what they're doing at a key time in the game.
Dublin, I mean, we saw Dermot O'Dooling. He actually started against Galway in the senior, the National Hurling League in Pearce Stadium. Ollie Gaffney, I believe the Dublin management brought them on the training camp with their seniors and then let them back maybe a few days earlier to get back for their first under 20 game. So Ollie Gaffney, Dermot O'Dooling, there's definitely a feeling in the last few years that Dublin have no fear whatsoever of Galway teams, but particularly at underage levels. I think, you know, in the last few years we've seen that, and this is a great, you know, if you look at the last 3 years at under 20, we played six, we've only won one game, lost four and drew one, you know. So Galway needs to kind of re-establish, don't we, at this level, like.
Yeah, and what do you get out of, what do you get out of Dublin in their underage structures for years and years is extremely fit,
yeah,
extreme and competitive.
Yeah.
Sometimes the hurling mightn't be fully on it, but they're able to grind out victories of late, and that we've seen that last year or over the last number of years. We fell victim to that a few times. So I think that the under 20 management will be under no illusion what's ahead of them there. The good part of it is there is a safety net there. Like they're just preliminary.
You're alive anyway.
You're still alive after it. So I wouldn't think there should be a nervous Galway coming into this weekend. I'd say just pushing for a performance amongst themselves.
Yeah, and then looking at the Dublin team, I'm looking at Jamie Conroy in midfield. He was exceptional last year. He came on at half time against Galway in last year's under 20 and Burr got a goal and 3 points from play. Dermot O'Dooling was playing as well, very good player. Ollie Gaffney played last year as well, so they have a core of last year's team and were exceptionally good against Galway. And the fact that they beat Galway last year, I think it should focus the minds from a Galway perspective. And I know in Dublin, seeing them at, say, underage level, under 16, minor, and whatever, they have a lot of dual players. And the further up they go, obviously, most of them, the football is obviously
filtered out
and go playing football. And it's a massive thing for Dublin, okay, and for these guys. And there's a real chance for them, a lot of them, to be on a senior panel. Jim O'Dooling is on the senior panel. As I said, Jamie Conroy is a highly rated player as well. David Purcell got 1-2 the last day. You would think that Galway should be as good as them, if not better, and you'd hope for a Galway victory, but they'll be under no illusions, particularly after last year's defeat, because they started really, really well last year. A good number of the guys were still involved and were well
up and
Dublin just took over the game from a physical perspective after that, and Galway will know what's down the tracks on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, there's also a link, isn't it, that the under 21 manager is one of Micheál Donoghue, who's selectors with seniors, so there's a direct link there to both teams, which is good. Right, I'm going to give you two quick fire. There'll be people listening to this, and one of them during the week said, "Will you ask your two lads now two things?" One was they agreed with our discussions last day on venues, that Galway don't get the home venues, and the second one was that Adam Screeney repeatedly during the game last Saturday was changing his helmet, and I was asked the question, is the new rule not there, should he have actually left the field when he changed his helmet? If you take off your helmet now in this new rule, the player is supposed to leave the field to play and come back in the next break, I think. This is obviously designed to stop the old, if you take off the helmet, you can stop the game.
Yeah.
But I was asked this question yesterday.
He didn't interfere with the pace of the game. Whereas previously, and I'm just thinking out loud. Yeah.
But is the rule clear cut too that if I take off my helmet the helmet
rule is stopped for medical attention, is it not? Rather than, oh, there's a clip broken in my helmet.
Mm.
And I'd say what was going on with Screeny's version of it the other day was it was a helmet issue, rather than an injury issue or
yeah. But the way I was asked the question was that once he took off the helmet, is the new ruling say that you should go off the field, put on the helmet, come back on? Is that
the rule actually states that if you remove the helmet or it has been removed for treatment, that you must leave the field to play and can only return from the halfway line. Now, in fairness, I only saw him changing the helmet once. I think he had to change it because of the fact that the helmet broke or something like that, or some strap came off it or something like that. But I think it's a bit nitpicking really in that sense. But if you look at senior level down the tracks, we saw Limerick in the league semi-final, I think two of their players had to leave the field against Kilkenny, and you come off the field and you go to the middle of the field. That's the new rule, and I'm sure
now it would be awful harsh. I mean, when I was asked the question, I said, come on, like, how in fairness to a referee, how could you even police that if a guy has, as you said, if there's something broke,
the helmet breaks a bit, like, you know, in regards to straps, or if you get caught in a tangle or under a ball, face guard can come loose, chin piece can come off, you know, different
but you
things.
Can now see what will develop, sir. If that happens in a game, the management of the other team will say, hold on, ref, helmet off here.
Yeah, but the good part of that rule is interfering with someone else's helmet, you're not allowed. So if I was Mark and Niall and that rule is saying I'd be trying to pull the helmet off him, but I can't run that risk now.
Yeah.
Now, of course, the other rule that's in, obviously, in all grades, the cards in extra time are taken away as well now, like, are added, I should say. They were taken away previous to this, and if you had 14 players on the field at the end of the game, you could start with 15 again. That's taken away as well, which puts extra pressure on teams as they will go forward. Going back to the helmet rule, it doesn't apply at minor level, by the way, at inter-county level. Okay. It only applies from minor or from under from
which
under
is unusual
senior.
As well.
Yeah. So, no, that's the major change. But that card rule could have implications down the line in the sense
for
extra time.
And based on the fact now that we're now going to see more extra time games with finish on the day.
So the
home venue, look at it just doesn't make sense. Galway need to get home venues as well. You know, we talked about this at the end of the game last week, and it's not a gripe, but if Galway are in the Leinster Minor and under 20 championship, and I get all the there's probably counties that don't want Galway in it, but unfortunately that is the structure. I mean, there isn't a Connacht championship as a viable option, so Galway are put into Leinster. But if we're in Leinster, we have to get home games, and the seniors have benefited from that. We'd see Carlow rolling into town in 2 weeks, Kilkenny the week after. For these lads, imagine if they could play Dublin, we say, in Athenry, Bannisloe, Herbert, Pearce Stadium.
Yeah, and we've a new president of the GAA that seems to be a very strong candidate, a very strong leader, speaks very well, and change is needed. Like, the GAA aren't perfect like any other organisation, and there's certain elements within it that needs to be addressed. And like, when you look at the optics of that, for the GAA to look at that and assess on that, they have to be saying that doesn't sit right. It has to look that you're allowing a team to play in a championship provided they don't play at home.
Yeah.
Like, it's
one hand behind your back bit, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is.
But it's even bigger, and you made the point, it's even bigger for the development of the game. I mean, not everyone can get to games. I mean, you're both teachers, you're in a school environment. We'd say, for argument's sake, if Dylan Dunn runs out in Athenry next Saturday instead of Tullamore, there's a fair chance that there'll be a fair amount of Clarence Bridge youngsters there to see him, do you know?
And don't get me wrong, this started with Galway being beggars on the at the table.
Yeah.
But Galway shouldn't have been the beggars at the table. Like, the GAA should be working extremely hard to facilitate all counties and all areas of Ireland that want to play GAA, north and south, that want to play Gaelic games, whether it be football or hurling. And this, because Connacht isn't a stronghold in regards to hurling, GAA left and went down and brought to Leinster and begged to enter that competition. But they need to act on that now. Like, that shouldn't sit well with Leinster Council. Not to mind the top the GAA officials. So like, the optics of it looks terrible. I think it's something that needs to be looked at and addressed. And I think it will. Not that it should. I think it will, because every year and every time we look at or revisit this type of format, we're saying, how is that allowed?
Yeah.
I think if you look at it, remember 2 years ago, Galway played Clare
in Athenry
at minor level in one of the qualifier games. There was a few thousand people at that match, because it was unusual. I think it wasn't since the 1960s was the last time Galway minors had a home game. The under 20s or under 21s haven't had a home game since way back in the 1960s as well, when they were in the Munster Championship, by the way. And I think if you look at it this year, Antrim at minor level and Galway at under 20 level, I may be wrong here, but we could be the only two counties that are not getting any home games at those development grades. So if you look at Galway minor footballers, I think have two or three home games. The Galway under 20 footballers have two home games and two away. I can understand from an Leinster Council perspective they're talking about journeys, but essentially the journey between Dublin and Galway or Galway and Offaly, these spaces, is not that long now. Wexford may be a bit of a journey, alright,
but there's two lanes on every road.
We see our miners going down to Wexford in a couple of weeks time,
which they'll be welcomed now.
I think, in fairness, there's a stipulation place as well that at the nearest opportunity Wexford would come to Pearce Stadium. Now, the wording of it, I don't know when the nearest opportunity would be, but they will be coming to
Galway at some stage, but it is a start.
And in fairness, if we're integrated into the Leinster Championship, you know, we should be should have home games and, like everybody else.
Yeah, and I'll put on my old hat here. I mean, it's fantastic for the last 2 years that the under 20s are getting games. it's fantastic. The minors are now getting games, for this is year two of it. Like, we've been, I was brought up on the old, where the seniors went in at All Ireland semi final stage, where under 21 on minor team, you couldn't get it right. To go back to our point earlier, at least by getting the games is number one, but coming in at the same point, isn't it? Like,
even last year's under 20s, that way, in our eyes, kind of underperformed.
Yes,
and
but they got four games.
Yes, and surely to God, that develops the player.
Yeah.
That's developing onto senior. There's a number of those that played them games and lost in those games last year that will make fine senior hurlers.
Yeah.
So we're getting our games finally at last, but we shouldn't be begging for that.
No.
And they say this year's under 20s are guaranteed 3 games. This year's minor team are guaranteed 4 games. I think there was about 7 games last year at minor level.
Yeah.
And that should benefit, you would think, Galway into the future at senior level.
Quick wrap then, lads, on the minors, or kind of proxy are in action. When is it?
The 20th, they go down to Kilkenny.
The day before Galway Carlow.
Before Galway Carlow, and then I think it's 2 weeks later, or maybe the following week, they play Dublin, and the week after that, they go to Wexford. Lovely double header down in Wexford Park. The Galway minors are on first, I think, and then they obviously have the seniors on the 4th of May. That bank on the weekend.
Bring the sandwiches between the two games.
Yeah. Might have to bring the breakfast as well, because we'll be going very early to Wexford on that particular day. But the loads of games coming up, and I think the next few months, lads, so I think we're nearly out every Saturday with minor, under 20, or senior. But it's great to see fairly early in the year, obviously. You'll see teams, even last weekend, if you saw the start of the football championship, I think there was 9 teams out of the provincial championship already in the middle of April,
it needs tweaking, it's too intense. And look at that for another. Finally, National League final, great win for Clare over Kilkenny. A lot of commentary on Kilkenny without TJ. Billy Drennan, we've seen him at underage, he looks the business. Is it just that he had an off day, in fairness to him, on the few of the frees? Is that what made TJ's absence even greater?
It was difficult. We said this at the free take, and I think Ireland missed 2 in a row at the same day.
It was an awful day last Saturday. Plus 3 win, Turles as well.
Would have been tough in a free taker. I think the loss of TJ was as big for the penalty than Anthony.
Yeah.
He's a long time stand over penalties.
Yeah.
Would he have? I never seen Turles as muddy.
Yeah.
Would you have put it in the ground? You'd be saying all your life to put it in the ground is the hardest for a goalie to block, but on an even where that ground was so bad and so sticky. I know he hit the ground early, too early, Cody, I felt.
But it didn't, the ball didn't it, just show the it surface.
Took the life out of the ball completely. Clare will be happy. The interviews post-game straight away, they went directly to Limerick. And they have to, I suppose. But they also highlighted that the performance of the game, or they played, they weren't overly happy how they played. So I think if Clare would be in big danger, I think if they had steamrolled that, played a brilliant performance, peak performance in that
like Waterford and Limerick in the last 2 league finals,
and then they felt they were in a position where there was no improvement, and try and maintain that. I think they'll be back trying to do a bit this week, Clare trying to improve, knowing that the intensity of what's coming for Cusick Park for first round of the championship, which you can't get tickets for, which you have people texting you looking for tickets for Cusick Park, Limerick versus Clare, and you have no association to it.
They're the ones you were showing us before we started there. Sorry.
So look, it's good for the game. It was a good league final. Kilkenny have lost a lot of finals. On the flip side of that, I think they're a stronger Kilkenny team that won Leinster last year. They were a stronger Kilkenny team that won Leinster 2 years ago. So I'd be fearful of the strength and depth they can bring, but at the same time, they're failing to get over the line time after time.
Yeah, they had a lot of chances the last day. I know Clare won it, and Clare were the better team, but in that first half, Kilkenny had some terrible wides and could have been 4 or 5 points up at half time. They looked dead and buried at 6 or 7 points down and came back, and had they got the goal, I think they would have gone level at that stage. Mm-hmm. And were close enough, obviously, at the end. Both teams have players to come back. You mentioned TJ Reid is obviously missing for Kilkenny, but Tony Kelly has to come back. Shane O'Donnell came on the last day. David McInerney came on the last day.
Clare have a serious panel to come back together now.
They have a serious panel, but it all comes down on Sunday week. They welcome Limerick to Cusick Park, lose that, they go to Cork the following week, lose that, and you could be out of the championship. And they could win those 2 games just as easily, but there's no easy game in that championship. And as Cyril said straight away, they were talking about the championship, and it is about the championship. And we're starting ourselves on Sunday week against Carlo, and it's coming very, very quick now, isn't it? In like in a couple of weeks' time, there'll be both, all the teams that have two games played, and you'll know exactly where you stand. The league is great and all, but I think it's about the championship. But one thing about Clare, I think it was important they won a national championship.
Yeah,
I know they have lost obviously a couple of Munster finals to Limerick, played really, really well. But to win a national championship,
and
it says
Kilkenny.
They're coming and beat Kilkenny in it. It says that they're on the right track, and we'll know a lot more about Clare against Limerick in a week and a half's time.
Isn't it crazy? And we leave it. I mean, as we do this, it's slashing rain here. It's hard to believe it's championship weather, isn't it?
Oh, championship. Well, yeah. It's not championship weather.
No,
it's championship season.
But
it's not championship weather. You know,
it's still a bit early touch to it, isn't there?
Like the grass is still in poor quality. I crossed Tullamore pitch last.
Yeah.
And it wasn't bad, but it's still a winter pitch. Still felt like a winter pitch going across it, and like nice few bare patches as well, like any pitch in the county. You know, so do we just need a spell of good weather in order to ignite the hurling championship?
Absolutely. 2 o'clock under 20 coverage from Tullamore on Saturday. We wish Galway the best luck to Saturday night. Thanks a million.
Thank you.